Start, you know, starting about 10 minutes after 5, and it just dragged on. I was just about to leave, and then we got back on the phone.
Oh, yeah. Good times.
And then, I made a wrong turn and turned on the street. I knew it was on Maxwell Road, but I couldn't find the address anyway, so at least not in my emails. The way they display emails, I don't know why they changed it.
Now.
Okay, so now this will call the meeting to order and please call the roll.
Committee member Enriquez? And I'm sorry, can you call the time?
It's 6:19.
All right, thank you. Okay, committee member Enriquez? Committee member Friel? Present. Chair Garcia?
Present.
Committee member Ilias?
Present.
Committee member Martinez?
Present.
Committee member Ridu? And committee member Saldivar? Thank you.
Okay, so moving on to the consent calendar. We have a consent calendar, two items. Do I have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
I would make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll second.
Okay, motion to second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We need to do a roll call.
Roll call.
Okay. Okay, committee member Martinez?
Yes.
Chair Garcia?
Yes.
Committee member Bruno?
Yes.
And committee member Ilya?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Motion pass. Next on the public comments.
We didn't receive any public comments either in person or via email.
Okay. Moving on to item 5. Action items 5.1, appointment of committee chair and vice chair for fiscal year 22-23 terms. Do we have...
You just nominate.
Yeah, do we have any nominations for the chair for fiscal year 22-23? Okay. Sounds like it's going to change, so I'll just stay as chair, or I'll nominate myself as chair. Do we have any nominations for vice chair?
Well, I'm willing to do it again.
Seeing no other nominations, nominations are closed.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and do a roll call vote.
Sure.
Okay, so committee member Martinez?
Aye.
Committee, vice chair Garcia?
Aye.
Committee member Brio?
Aye.
And committee member Ilya?
Aye.
Okay, moving on to item 5.2. Discussion regarding the fiscal year 22 annual activity report and authorize staff and finalize and submit.
Thank you, Commissioner Garcia. In your packet was 5.2, which was the annual report for FY21, the audit expenditure report for FY21, and the FY23 budget and expenditure plan. So staff's available, so if you have any questions on the attachments that were provided.
Does anybody have any?
I have no questions.
No.
Yes.
Thank you for sending it earlier on. Really helps.
Right. So then we just need a motion to authorize staff to finalize and submit the report.
I make a
motion to finalize and submit for approval.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Can we have a roll call vote?
Commissioner Martinez?
Aye.
Chair Garcia?
Aye.
Committee Member Rios?
Aye.
And Committee Member Diaz?
So, aye.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on, motion passes. Moving on to item 5.3, consideration of amendments to the fiscal year 23-27 Measure P spending plan.
Thank you very much. So I'm new to this. Just want to formally introduce myself, Kirk Crouch, Deputy City Manager, new to the Measure P subcommittee. So I hope not to mess this part up. And if I do, I'll ask Ed or Sarah to chime in. But the only two amendments currently made to the spending plan are increase to Fire Station 1 remodel and moving up the purchase of fire equipment. But they have right 23-27 spending plan. Is there any other amendments, Ed?
Ed Rundell, Budget Manager in the Finance Department, and this action is also adopting the expenditure plan for FY24, as well as the 10-year or the 10-year plan overall. So other than that, there's no other recommended changes.
So I have a question. Looking at the attachments that you sent earlier, this is under the 5.3 fiscal year 23-27 spending plan, right?
Yes.
Where do I see the amendments that is requested to be approved on this, what page is that on?
What the committee is actually accepting or adopting is the plan itself.
Oh, it's just plan itself.
It's the entire plan, it's the entire US.
Yeah, because of the lack of formal past meetings, the items had to move forward. I believe you received email communication about having those expenditures forward. So the council, you know, we issued the bid for, or they awarded the contract for the remodel of Fire Station 1, as well as moving them for the vehicle purchases. So the only way we can let you know is by email. So apologize for that.
I see. Understood. Some other questions?
Were there any other substantial changes or other than to the fire station?
Not at this time. I will tell you that staff is currently reviewing the next 3 years. Of all expenditures on projects to date and are having that discussion. So there may be additional amendments coming forward to you at the next time.
Are we exploring, is the city exploring any of the opportunities for the infrastructure funding that's coming through for the federal government?
The city's partner with city both internally is keeping a temperature on the pipes that we know funding normally comes out of. We also have partnered with San Diego Regional SDR PIC, Public Policy Innovation Center, who are continuing to work with us on what our priorities are to see as new pipes are open for funding that City of Chula Vista is competitive to seek those grants.
Any other questions? Okay, do I have a motion to approve the amendments to the Measure P spending plan?
I'll make the motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion and second. Any other discussion? I'll have a roll call vote.
Committee Member Martinez?
I vote aye.
Chair Garcia?
I'll vote aye.
Committee Member Rio?
Aye.
And Committee Member Diga?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Moving on to item 5.4, consideration of the Finance Department report, fiscal year 23-24 budget.
So, Ed Pringle, once again, from the Finance Department. And basically, the public safety spending plan that you just adopted, the actual budget for FY24, since we budget on an annualized basis, is included in the attachment, and so it's just basically the COC formally accepting the FY24 budget as a standalone item. And that includes my presentation.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Any questions?
No, I don't have any questions.
So just looking at this total amount is 16.5 million,
yes.
Is on the revenues, are you seeing any increases or decreases to the IUP revenue?
So we are seeing an increase compared to last year's budget. However, we are anticipating a flattening of the revenues. And so this, even though it's an increase of the FY22 adopted budget, we are anticipating that sales tax revenues will basically fall flat. It's going to be higher than what's budgeted for FY23. All indications are that we may be going into a recession, considering a slowdown in spending overall. Interest rates isn't particularly helping, so car sales and all those things that are driving, and most consumers are basically consuming non-taxable goods or food items, but gasoline, we saw an uptick when gas costs went up. However, they're saying that gas is coming down. So our consultant, our sales tax consultant, is anticipating that we'll probably be flat going into this fiscal year. So this is our conservative estimate that's included in the plan. However, what we notice is that our sales tax consultant usually puts in a conservative estimate and it comes in slightly higher. So we're anticipating hopefully it'll be the same, but at this point, this is what our estimate or projection is for our program.
With the increase in the electrification, we will probably see less fuel being sold. Do we have a plan to convert the loss of the revenue from our fuel sales tax into any other revenue source?
No, I don't think we've contemplated this
I mean, I know statewide, they're looking at the infrastructure tax because it's associated with fuel, and they're trying to figure out how to make that more equitable, but I just didn't know if the city had a longer-term plan to replace the tax.
No, we haven't had any discussions, but I would refer to my colleagues who maybe more versed in the city.
I guess the question is, are we reporting that on an annual basis on seeing how gas tax is trending up or down? I'm just curious if that happens in the city system.
We do track gas tax revenues, and we have seen that gas tax has, because of the increased cost of gasoline, has been, and there's an uptick. However, based upon our projections, we are seeing moderate growth when it comes to gas tax. Anticipation is that because of EVs and electric vehicles and the transition into electric vehicles, that in the next several years that may be an issue. But for now, gas taxes is going very well.
There'd have to be a big uptick in EVs.
Well, there's after 2035, you can't have non-alternative fuel vehicles sold in California, so.
True, but there'll be a lot of existing vehicles out there too, so it usually takes decades for these fleets to turn over significantly, but we haven't done any analysis because it's pretty far off at this point.
A question on the, I noticed that the sports courts and this field, but then the recreation centers and the senior center, like Loma Verde and that adjacent baseball field and everything. Is there any money going towards those yet, or is there a plan in the future? Because I remember that was on hold.
Correct, and that's, well, we did the study on it, and we put it in, gave it over to Parks, and then Tracy put that on hold for a while, but I think with the revenue, Parks is now under Matt, so I just sent in that study two weeks ago.
So essentially what we're doing, kind of what Eric had said, is we're starting to look at all the projects that are out there, right? That we, from, you know, Max Field area to all these other projects that we've identified, is how do they fit in, now that we've lived in Measure P for a while, right? And we have all these other projects out there, kind of reprioritizing. Remember, we did an exercise maybe, I don't know, 2 years ago, and we kind of did that, right? We kind of built like a 3-year projection, a 3-year you know, kind of how we want the cast ahead on the projects. We're doing that now. And this one is a little bit larger because we're actually looking at projects and, you know, how we define them. So, yeah, I mean, I think most, if not all of our infrastructure is in that conversation.
In which category would the, like, Loma Verde and Maxfield fall under? Would it be under the recreational centers or sports?
Yeah, so the rec centers would take care of the building components, but let's say court sports and, you know, the field version would take care of the fields if it was a park, you know, so the connection point between those two, we would, that's what we're looking at, is how you take these projects and kind of spread them across the different funds and figure out how the best way to kind of reprioritize. And that, I think, either the next meeting we have here is when we'll start to lay out that plan. Like, hey, we've looked at kind of where we've been and where we need to go. Here's all the options we have out there. This is what we think is the best. And part of our philosophy has changed too, right? So we want to make sure that if we spend a bunch of money on a building like Oleander, and we, you know, we spend a couple of $1 million on a roof replacement, that we can actually utilize the building. Right now, that building is not well utilized, even though we just spent a tremendous amount of money. We fixed the broken component, but we didn't fix the entire asset. So we're starting to look at some of these things in their entirety now.
It's like, I haven't been to Loma Verde in a while, but is Loma Verde already reopened? Or is
so the first...
So do you give an update later on here on the projects that are in the status if you want? Or
yeah,
you want to wait?
Yeah, that's
fine. Do we have the same discussion at that point with projects too?
Okay. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Seeing no more questions, do I have a motion to approve the item 5.1?
Okay.
And do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. So we have a motion and second for the to accept the Finance Department report for the fiscal year 2024 budget.
Committee Member Martinez?
Aye.
Chair Garcia?
Aye.
Committee Member Brio?
Aye.
And Committee Member Villa?
Aye.
Thank you.
Oh, motion passes. Sorry. Okay, so now moving on to item 6, presentations. So we have item 6.1, fiscal year 2022, Measure P compliance audit.
So I'm Sarah Shane, my instructor. The audit was actually attachment A in item 5.2. So I'm just putting it in there twice. It is there. So our auditor, LSL prepared the compliance report for 2022, and the opinion on the report was that we were in compliance with the Measure P spending plan, and it basically provides you a set of financial statements showing that the total fund balance available is $34 million, and that the revenues for 2022, the local sales tax revenue that came in was $27.4 million, and the expenditures were $22 million with a debt service payment of 8.3, resulting in the amounts of $29 million. So let me know if you have any questions. I'm not going to answer any. It's a pretty straightforward report. And just reporting that we are in compliance with the plan.
Are there any questions at this point?
I have no questions. I just do want to comment this team. Your soft costs are very, very low for such a big program. It's really impressive. It's about 4% of the overall program, so that's really good compared to the agencies. So that's awesome.
Were there any audit recommendations?
No, there were no findings or recommendations.
Okay, you don't need a vote on it.
No.
Okay. Moving on to, are there any other questions? Just make sure. Moving on to item 6.2, Measure P, County and Administration.
So Ed Prindell again. We haven't met and so we missed the several meetings were canceled. We have a quorum. So I could go through each quarter. I could just sort of summarize sort of fiscal year 22 and then summarize where we're at in fiscal year 23 if that's the pleasure of the committee. So fiscal year 22, and this is going to be super high level unless you have detailed questions, and I can get into that. Total fiscal year 22 revenues were $27.9 million, and overall expenditures was $31 million, as stated by Ms. Shane, finance director, and it's reflected in the LSI report. The largest expenditure categories were $16.7 million for CIP projects, $8.1 million in debt service payments, and capital expenditures of $4.5 million. A lot of the spending is went towards Mount Verde, so that is one of our projects that is wrapping up. Otherwise, that includes the report for fiscal year 22, and I can go to fiscal year 23. So fiscal year 23, measure P revenues from quarters 1 through 3, is $14.6 million. In total, overall expenditures is $17.3 million. The majority of that spending is going towards Mount Verde and some of the roadway projects. The largest expenditure items are in the following categories: non-safety vehicle purchases and outfitting, and infrastructure expenses. Otherwise, that includes in the recreation center, recreation and senior centers subcategory. Otherwise, that includes my report for fiscal year 23, and I'm available to answer your questions.
Questions? Do you guys see this? These numbers. In the attachments, what page do I go to?
It's attachment 6.2. Item 6.2.
Okay. That's okay. Thank you. All right. Any other
questions? Okay, seeing none, I will accept that. The presentation going on to measure P project updates, item 6.3.
I'll let the slides come on.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Curious guys, why we're trying to get the attachment up. Does the Measure P funds allocate money for crime deterrent or maintenance or operations of assets that have been damaged by crime? You know, they've been breaking or restrooms and destroyed. Where does that funding come from?
So that comes either from either insurance or the general fund.
Yeah.
If something is like damaged.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Or the staff time to repair it.
Like yeah, we don't. Yeah, Measure P doesn't take it.
It doesn't.
No.
Okay. So that comes from operational funds.
Correct. Now there are programs that the buildings have, let's say like security cameras,
yeah,
that are getting updated.
Yeah.
And those security systems are part of Measure P if they need to be updated.
Because it capitalizes costs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Got it. If it was damaged, if someone threw a rock through a window, it would be better.
Yeah, because crime is increasing, there's an increase. And I see,
yeah.
I do a lot of walking around Chula Vista and I see a lot of damage happening. So I'm just curious on if Measure P allocates funds or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to go for me.
Because mine's up. I figured it out. Okay, so
So this is I'm Bill Valley, I'm the Director of Engineering for Capital Projects. So these are the projects that my division has been working on. So next page, yeah. So just quickly, so we mentioned Fire Station 1 repair and replace. So that's actually in construction now. So like Eric had said, we had allocated a little more money to that to make the award, but it's been awarded, and they should be starting construction within the next probably month. It's going to be a pretty complex job because it's a rehabilitation of the existing fireplace, and they want to stay active while we're doing the design or the rebuild. So it'll be operational and a full rehabilitation. So we'll rehab half of it, and the flop is the other half. So, but the good news is they started construction. So the next one is this is corrugated metal pipe outside the right of way, phase three. So that, and so we go through the list, and then we go to the slides. So that rehab project will wrap up the remainder of our corrugated metal pipes that are outside of the public right-of-way and rehabilitate them. And so that should complete all of our CMP. So that's one of the line items in the plan. Then the next one, we can go to this next page. So Loma Verde Rec Center, the next slide. So Loma Verde Rec Center, as if you recall, it's in three phases. Phase one and two, it's now open and active. They just started that a couple weeks ago, Phase three, which is slide on the right upper, is the pool and the pool, all the water amenities and the pool lockers. So that's still under construction. So that area is kind of closed off from the active part. That should be completed mid-summer at this point we're looking at. So it should be fully complete mid-summer. And then at some point, that's where when we talked about like Max Field and the path between Loma Verde here and the baseball field, it was part of that study we did. So that study's done, and once this is completed, it would be good for us to look at seeing where we can program that project in, which is ADA improvements at the field plus the path and walkway connection between the two. But that's not included in this job. This is just Loma Verde Rec. And as you recall, this, you know, when this originally showed up in the original major P, it was like, fix the roof, do a little of this, do a little of that. It was nowhere near a full remodel. So, but if you haven't been out there, it's beautiful. It's phenomenal. And it's a real jewel for that area. Then the next slide, Mark. This is Lauterbach Park. If you recall, that's another one where it's partially major P funded. We did get grant funding to help with the remodel of this park. Its main purpose was to take out the turf field and put in regular field and put in an artificial turf field and add lighting so it could actually be used at night, which not many of our parks have night lighting, I think, on the west side. It's basically complete. We did a walkthrough on punch list work last week. It'll go into plant establishment. We hope to open it to the public in the first couple of weeks of May here. So next few weeks that'll be open and active again, so that'll be nice. And
sir,
then,
can I ask a question, please?
Up to the chair.
Can I ask a question?
Sure, go ahead.
My name is Ben Delgado. I'm a citizen here at Chula Vista 50 years. How much is going to be saved on the maintenance on the turf? Compared, is there any number on that?
I defer to my public works.
Thank you, and I hate to interrupt myself. So artificial fields, there isn't really a reduction in maintenance costs. There is in terms of we don't have to go mow, but
the
we
water.
Do have or water.
We still have the water.
Yeah, we still have the water because we need to clean, and then we need to clean the field periodically. We need to blow off debris, do all that kind of stuff. So there is a small reduction maybe in maintenance, but our monitoring of this is a relatively small site,
right.
And so it doesn't. I don't know that we'll see a drastic reduction in maintenance costs on here. We also will, within 10 years, have to replace the field probably, or 12 years, whenever it wears out. It's going to get a lot of use, and so, because it is lighted, it is in an area that, you know, needs a field, so we expect a lot of use on this, and so, I mean, that's the goal, right, so. But, I don't know that we would ever, just to answer your question, I'm not sure we see a ton of maintenance savings. It's just different.
But you're using more.
And you can program it way more.
You can program it more, it's more reliable, so you don't get issues with dirt, bare spots, and things
sure.
like that, right? So it's in better condition. Okay, that was Lauterbach. And then I don't have a slide for this one, but it's back on that first set of slide I had the list on. That's a traffic signal systems where we've replaced 11 different traffic signals that were very, very, very old, didn't have smart controllers or anything. So that project went out. It's, it was paid for about $5 million. Anyway, the signals were all in. All that's left with that is the repair of the concrete and the curb ramps. When they remove the old poles, they have to repair and put in new ADA ramps and stuff around them. And so there's, I think, 3 or 4 of the locations that work still needs to be completed, and that will be done in the next month or two. So that job's essentially completed as well. And then the sidewalk slicing, the sidewalk rehab job, that's the next slide. So this project, the concrete slicing portion is in, and this is just shows one of the quadrants that was done. And this is the way we're kind of tracking where we did slicing for heaves on concrete. We did all 4 quadrants, but I just showed, this is just the southeast quadrant shown. But anyway, the slicing portion's done. What we found through the when we went out and checked for the heaves is some of the locations couldn't be sliced, which is you have a heave and they come over the concrete slot and they slice it down to make it smooth again. But some of the areas had shattered slabs or something where a slice wasn't going to fix the problem. So those were noted as we went out to all these thousands of locations. And we'll have another job that we're going to start with the design phase after the first of the fiscal year here, that we'll be actually just doing panel replacements of the shattered slabs where it wasn't a heave issue. So that'll be a fairly large project. Some of the heaves were too big where Public Works went out and did some immediate wedging with asphalt. They were too large to slice. Those will also be replaced in this upcoming project that we're going to work on. So that'll be a project that we'll present next time, actually. So that's it for engineering. Any questions?
I'm curious, is there any, I know this is sometimes a controversial, but what about like on unimproved alleys? Is that ever something that the city's going to be looking at, or is that going to be up to the private property owner who lives next door?
Yeah, there's a council policy regarding alleyways, and so the council policy is pretty much it's up to the property owners if they want to do an improvement, and there's standards there where I think it's like 6 inches of concrete, and so they'd have to get together and do it. But there's no, we don't have a program to go out and pave alleys. That's it.
All right. So I'm Matt Little. I'm the director of Public Works. Next slide. All right, so over the last 6 months, we've completed 8 projects for around $2.3 million. The most notable of those has been the Civic Center Library restroom remodel. So if you get an opportunity, go check out the Civic Center Library in the children's area. We've remodeled the restroom and we've done the whole, it's really cool. We've done a bunch of HVAC work on city facilities. We've got, you know, electric switchgear that supply electrical feeds to parks. We've got LED lighting areas. We're working on ADA paths and paths of travel within parks. So we've been fairly busy over the last 6 months. So next slide. Just some photos. So you can see the south, you know, we're doing some conversions over to LED. If you go to the top right-hand corner, you'll see some replacement of sidewalks. If you know the area between Rancho Reyes, Southwestern College, there's a park that goes through that. Those sidewalks were all lifted and grazy, so we removed a bunch of them and replaced them, so it came out really well. And then you'll see below those are the mechanical components that we work on, so HVAC units, switchgear, those kinds of things. And then, next slide. So this is the Civic Center Library project, right? So this is when we did the restroom, we did the children's area. It came out really well. If you had been there a couple years ago, you would have seen how rough it actually was. That building was built a long time ago, and we really hadn't invested a lot of money in that facility. So now both sets of restrooms on that facility have been remodeled. So it came out really nice. The community is using it. It's, you know, it's good to see these kinds of projects move forward. Next slide. So right now we have 7 projects in design or in construction. A lot of them, so we have 7 projects, about $4.6 million. Some of the big ones are, we're switching over all of our irrigation and controller systems, right, to smart controllers, and that enables us to water smartly, right? And so the idea is to try to conserve as much water as possible, but get the water to where it is needed, right? So right now we have a digital system, but it's mechanical in nature in terms of we create a program and it just implements the program. The smart controllers will know, hey, guess what, it's raining outside, we should shut all the irrigation off. Or because we're a fairly large city, we might have different systems going on, right? So it might be raining on the east side of the city and not raining on the west side of the city. And so the new system, which we're about 50% installed, is going to kind of, you know, work with us on that. So we've got, at Civic Center, again, we've got some ADA parking lot improvements. We're updating the city's fuel management system and fuel delivery system. So this is at fire stations or here at the courtyard. We deliver fuel, right? So, you know, you pull up a fire truck, do these car expense things. Those systems are super antiquated. So we're replacing all the hardware. We're replacing all the software so we know what vehicle you're using, how much fuel, you know, who's doing it. We're also updating with this project the vehicle management system, right? So we now have, we've had an older vehicle management system. So this is an updated version of that. It's very similar to what everyone uses in the region. So the county uses it, we use it, all the major cities use it. Enables us to really understand how we're using the vehicles, all their maintenance schedules, all that good stuff. We're in progress right now with three playground replacements at Winding Walk, at Chula Vista Community, and Paseo Del Rey. And that will eat into that $1 million number you see there. That's about $800,000 worth of playgrounds just in those three. So, next slide.
I have one question. On the tree removal,
uh-huh.
Are you removing and replacing or just removing?
Oh, remove and replace.
Are you replacing with native vegetation as opposed to, like, eucalyptus are not native and palms?
Maybe not native per se, but we put the right tree in the right spot, right? So we're not putting in, like, we're not removing a pine tree that didn't work and adding a pine tree. Right, so we would just change the species. We do have to be kind of aware of the placemaking, right? So we don't want to go and remove a bunch of plant material and then change the theming of the neighborhood, right? So we're very careful of that because residents get, you know, if you drive down H Street, right, those pines are, you know, everyone loves them, but they're causing havoc on the infrastructure. So as we remove them, right, or Bill's got a project in the area, we probably won't add a pine back, right? We'll add a different species that may have the same benefit or the same one. Okay.
Some of those,
Yeah.
H Street, we've got a project through there where we're removing some of those trees, and really some more need to be removed because they're actually in the way. We don't have ADA compliance on the sidewalk because there's not enough clearance. But it is a struggle because the minute you move a tree, they're like, why are you doing that?
Yeah, so it's always, you know, putting the right tree in the right spot. And that's what we really do. In a lot of areas, we don't have irrigation, so we need to put dry tall-line trees. So
Matt, I got a question for you. The smart irrigation controllers, do you forecast a reduced labor cost in the future if these are smart to not physically switch on and switch off as needs are?
Yes, in that one area, right? So if the smart irrigation controllers are working, we will spend less time on irrigation controlling issues.
Right.
But we have so much work in just irrigation management that they'll just get redistributed throughout that.
So you just move that labor.
Yeah, I mean, I think we probably aren't resourced the best way in some of these areas. And so, you know, finding opportunities to save money and save time, right? Allows us to move and kind of spread the, you know.
Better resources, smart resources.
Exactly. This, though, allows us to control the whole city from one location, so that it's beneficial. And our supervisors will have it on their phones, and so if there's, you know, if we get a call from a sports group, which happens occasionally, like, you know, a game is, you know, set to go on, the irrigation's going off, we can shut it down really fast.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a good program.
Awesome.
It's never. Yeah. So, Living Coast Discovery, this is one of the projects that we've done, the railing replacement. That's been a success. Obviously, out there, if you guys have been out there, that's a pretty toxic environment for buildings and equipment. So, replacing those railings is a good deal. You'll see on the lower right, some of the ADA improvements we've made at the Civic Center Library. Next slide. So upcoming projects. So this is the conversation that we had a couple years ago about kind of what we're forecasting, kind of the three-year plan. We're about a year and a half into that plan. So over the next 2 years, we have about 41 projects worth about $11.2 million. And they're spread over a variety of assets, right? So there's 13 HVAC projects, 10 parks projects, 18 like building-related, either exterior or interior. There's a lot of HVAC. There's lots of renovations of, you know, skate parks or park lighting or, you know, I mean, there's a gamut of projects in here. One of the things that, as you know, you heard us talk about coming back next meeting with kind of a reprioritization is looking at some of these and making sure that this is the right road, right? So kind of like what Bill was saying about Loma Verde, you know, Loma Verde's asset was, hey, replace the roof, right? And then we got into it and we were like, this is not the right path. You know, replace the roof, but the building is in desperate need of changing, right? And so as we look at how we move into this next phase, we'll start to look at projects in their entirety and say, hey, it makes sense maybe for like Oleander, which is a building, you know, the Boys and Girls Club used to have, where we have, I think in this plan, we have $750 to update that, $750,000 to update that building. It might require more to make it more user, more usable to the community. So, and then last but not least is vehicles. So, so far this fiscal year, we have ordered 95 vehicles. We've received about 40. We still have 55 on order. As you can imagine, and you guys are watching the news, getting vehicles is crazy. And so, Ford will open up their ordering windows for a day and then shut them down. And so, vehicles that we, you know, that we should just get within a month are now taking almost a year to get. And then once we get the vehicle, we have to outfit it. And so, but I think we're doing, you know, we have replaced a lot of the fleet over the last 7 years. And so, you know, I think we're in a pretty good spot and continue to make strides in that area.
Can I ask on the Pierce Arrow, I think that's a fire truck?
Yeah, so that's four engines, and they're about $1 million apiece. And this cost, this $3.8 million, is not outfitted. So what happens is we get essentially a bare fire truck engine. It's an engine. And then we'll spend 6 months customizing it, adding equipment, putting in, you know, systems in it, whatever the fire department is.
7:01 p.m.
So.
Also is, so with those four, I remember when Metro P first started and we were replacing a lot of the fire trucks. Have we gone through the whole fleet yet, or is this?
No. So we have, so on with fire, and we're starting to work on this with PD, is actually doing a full on, we just finished this with fire, which was their fleet master plan, right? They have, they're in pretty good condition right now, pretty good shape. They've replaced the pieces of equipment that they have needed to, right? But we have a lot on order. I think we have 7 pieces of equipment. So we have these 4 plus another 3. And those, right now the lead time for some of this equipment is, for like a ladder truck, is almost 2.5 years. So we're now projecting out, hey, guess what? We're gonna need this thing in 2.5 years. We better place the order now. So right now, I think the fire fleet's in pretty good shape. They have reserves, they have everything. They're probably in the best shape they've been in a long time.
Does the, I know there was another ballot measure that covered like public safety.
Correct, Measure A.
Is that covering this, or it's Measure P? Or?
So I think there are some, and Sarah probably might be able to ask into that better than me.
trying to think on fire. I know that PD added positions, and along with those positions, we added vehicles, and we also planned for the replacement of those vehicles within the Measure A.
So Measure A has purchased. Measure A has purchased vehicles, but they're not the big apparatuses. The most recent purchase, besides the Measure P, will come from the DIF fund in regards to the fire station. Yes.
What's the, I guess, what's the threshold of using Measure A money versus the Measure P? Is it like a threshold or some type of...
So in regards to Measure A, these are new positions that are being supported. They're not the replacement of assets.
Okay.
They're basically new assets that are coming into the system.
Okay. Yeah, the litmus test is Measure P is failing assets, replacing failing assets.
Right.
Measure A is we're adding boots in the ground. They need to be in cars, they need computers, they need those type of things, so they need tools to do their job. Okay. So that's kind of...
So if this is your fire station, which needs a new fire truck, that goes from Measure A then?
Well, that would probably
come from a different. Right. So we also have like public facilities development impact fees from every development. So every new house or commercial building that's built pays a fee. That fee then goes in to pay for the building and the outfitting of it and the equipment. So
didn't A cover going to 407?
A covered 407.
Yeah, so you don't need new equipment to go to 407.
I guess my question would be too is that, and my question of finance is, like I understand like if you have this new equipment and some of it is developer fees paid and some of it is Measure P and maybe there's a grant out there, you know, who's making sure that the, you know, it's not solely being looked at for Measure P, but that they're also using the appropriate, you know, developer fees that are supposed to pay for those and things like that.
Right. So I mean that's something that finance is looking at when the purchase is being made. So like the developer fees are going to be specific for specific areas and that sort of thing. So like they were saying with Village 8 West coming online, those developer fees are there to purchase the vehicles, build the fire station. And then the staffing is a portion from the general fund, the portion from Measure A is kind of to the common. They expanded the 4-0 staffing. All of that extra staffing is coming from Measure A, so it's not coming on the general fund. If there's a grant or something, we're going to spend that before we spend anything else. You're going to spend the most restricted money first, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the grants usually come with a timeline too, so you're going to spend the most restricted and the stuff you have to spend first. So we are looking at that as it comes out. But to Measure P and the equipment, it really is the failure equipment. It's the existing equipment. It's what was already there. That's what it was issued for. And that's where Matt and Bill and Eric are looking at where do we want to focus the thing. Let's look at our plan. We had the plan we just did for 3 years. We're a year and a half into it. Let's look again, reset, make sure we've got it to this point on $750,000 that's set aside for the Oleander. When we get into it, it might be more. We want to plan for that now, revamp, and all that will come back to this committee.
I think it would, and just for the oversight updates, making sure, like, if you're sending, like, for the Pierce Arrow trucks, maybe, like, identify we're replacing, you know, these four trucks that are falling apart, you know, maybe throw a bumper on the ground so you don't have like that. But and then it helps us to be able to understand that, okay, this is directly, these trucks are falling apart, let's get some new ones, so might help them.
Okay. Maybe it'll be a good comment.
Yeah. Any other questions?
No.
I was just curious, how much does it cost to outfit these new trucks? I guess the fire trucks are like $1 million each or something?
Yeah, they're about $1 million to purchase, and they're probably $200,000 to $300,000 to outfit.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Curious about what that was.
Yeah. And then, you know, like a PD unit, like the Explorers, you see they're probably, you know, $30,000 to $40,000. It really depends on what is being added to the piece of equipment.
So does the Measure P funds pay for the outfitting too?
Correct. On equipment that's being replaced.
Replaced.
So if you took a public works truck, right, in our construction division, and you're replacing that piece of equipment, it's all the outfitting that goes along with that. So it's the vehicle, which is the frame and the cab, and then we come through and add the boxes and the all the good
lights,
stuff,
bar.
Light bar, safety equipment, all that.
So that cost there shows that update
correct.
Outfitted.
Yeah.
Oh, and you have another question just on the fuel systems. How many sites where the fuel systems are being replaced?
So the all of well. All except for the new fire stations, right? Because they have a modern system. All the existing stations that have fuel, they're getting all new hardware. All the systems are getting the new software. right? The largest fuel system we have is here. And all we're doing is really is the dispensing units, right? The underground tanks are, you know, actually because of fire station 2 being closed, or the tank of the fueling area at fire station 2 being closed, we don't have any more underground, they're all above ground. All the tanks are fine. So it's really the dispensing systems.
And those systems help you track, right?
Correct. Yeah. So then we have the fuel deployment systems, which is the software as well as the hardware, and then that will feed into the vehicle management systems that we have. So you can pull up any piece of equipment we might have, whether it be police car, fire truck, whatever. Understand exactly what their fuel usage is. You know, are they idling or are they running at full steam? You know, a gamut of information that helps us figure out how the best way to monitor and maintain the equipment.
Is there anything more on the project updates? Is that it?
That's it.
Do we have any other questions? Okay, so thank you for the presentation. Moving on to item 7, staff comments.
I think you've already heard the only staff comment really is that hopefully by the next meeting we'll have a deeper dive into the final 3 years and whether or not we're going to be reprioritizing various projects to make sure that, we're making the best decisions with the last remaining funds before Measure B expires in 2026. So, and I really just want to also apologize for not having that form on the last one, and we will do our darndest to make sure that we continue, and it will be annoying by just kind of pinging you to make sure that you're here so that we have utilized the best use of your time, because we know your time is valuable. So thank you very much for making it tonight. That's all.
Is there any discussions about renewing Measure P or doing some similar measure to Zango and Sunset, but is there anything to renew it?
To be fiscally responsible with the city and continue to know that we still have a lot of alien assets in the city, and as it continues to grow older, there are a lot of assets that were left off of the initial Measure P. There's conversations going on in Measure P, the right thing, is there other funding mechanisms, what's going on with the federal government, those type of things. So there's nothing formal. No formal directions been provided by the city council, have not brought anything to them, but obviously the city manager, and the city manager is working with staff and the department heads to explore what are the best alternatives to move forward. So nothing new at this time.
So this is what I feel about this. These measures typically, they go to the voters, to get voted on. I think it's very important. Like, I see a lot of successes in the past 2 years that I've been here that the Measure P is doing. It's important to celebrate the successes and inform the public about it, right? I know the swimming pool, this has had a lot of attention, but the small, other very significant yet smaller projects that Measure P has undertaken done a very good job, and then the citizens of this great city are enjoying them. We should talk about those. Mm-hmm. My office, my other life is, I ride across the Bonita Golf Course, and I do that 5K walk every so often, and I come across the restroom that the Measure P upgraded. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. We have artwork there. I think it's important for people to know that, hey, where this came from, or what funded it, I should say. Mm-hmm. And so is also the other great projects we did in Chula Vista West Side. So I would love for the community to know what great work this does, because ultimately when the city does go up for another measure, they do know that it's been successful in creating assets or replacing assets.
Yeah, appreciate the comment. Well said, thank you.
Okay, any other staff comments? Moving on to committee member comments.
I was a little bit curious about when I saw the budget, it had debt service as one of the line items. Was that part of the budget? So actually the repayment of principal as well as interest is part of the Measure B budget?
Right, so there was a bond issue in the beginning of Measure P so that we had the cash up front to start a lot of the projects while we were having the sales tax come in over time. Mm-hmm. So there was a debt service payment that was coming out of that sales tax.
Okay.
Basically, so just gave us the bucket of money up front, and now we're paying off the sales taxes that's coming in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm a CPA, so I'm one of those weird guys, but I kind of noticed that. But, so therefore, I guess when you got the loan proceeds, that was counted as like revenue then? Because then that way when you pay it back, it's an expense, so it evens out, right? Because normally a loan proceed is not income, but then this is government accounting, right?
So
it's totally different.
In government accounting,
yeah.
It is not, well, I mean, it's...
It'd be like a source of...
It's
like
revenue at the fund level, it's bond proceeds at the fund level, so it's recorded as revenue within the general fund. And then when you convert it to the government-wide statement, which is the full local statement for the whole city, looking at it citywide, then it turns from revenue into the liability for the bond.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows up as two ways in the governmental statements.
Okay, so it's more like cash flow. Okay, I was just curious. Like I said,
yeah. It's kind of a weird thing with governmental accounting, yeah.
I get it. Yeah. How that works.
Any other comments from the committee?
No.
Okay, and so I guess we can adjourn. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, it is. 7:50.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, good.